Thank you very much. Some of those apologies were sent to me. Honorable Mieni, also, you did not receive his apology because he did send me an apology. Can we record that apology of Honorable Mieni? He wrote me that last night. Let me take this opportunity and welcome the DG. Oh, and the DG is not here. The DM of South African Tourism and his delegation to our meeting. We know that oversight is what we do, it's our role, and we always appreciate to have the department and the entity accounting before Parliament through the Portfolio Committee. I must say upfront, DM, that when I read the report that you are bringing today, it's more of a progress report to some of the things which you have already reported to the Portfolio Committee. We've seen that there's some progress in some programs which you were lacking behind on. And I must also appreciate a detailed report on the infrastructure and those programs, the province, which we have received as well. Seemingly the department is meeting us halfway. All those reports, they are the way we have requested them to be as a portfolio committee, so that we have a seamless interaction when you come to the portfolio committee. I'm going to hand over to you, DM, so that you lead your team from SA Tourism. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Well, it's not SA Tourism.
And I just say tourism. And I'm reminded of your letter of apology last week, which I was able to get to read. Oh, the shame, DM, guys, about who was the NDT. Okay, over to you.
Who does NDT? No, that's a thanks, Chair, and greetings to all honorable members and the team of the department. As reflected in the apology, Chair, the minister is having a minister's BRICS meetings, which is taking place today. So the DG is there to support the minister on those meetings. As you know, we could not hold our BRICS meetings before the BRICS summit, so there was an agreement that we'll take them after. Now we are accompanied by all the DDGs and the CFO, and then DDG Shamila will be the one that will be leading the presentation on behalf of the Director General. It's a first quarter report for the financial year 2023-2024 as per the APP that was approved by yourselves somewhere early this year in May, June. The report is we just want to get a permission, Chair. We've got an overview which details what has been achieved, what has not been achieved, and the reason thereof, and measures that are going to be put place, which is what is an overview all about that. But we've got the presentation, which presentation then reflect the same thing. So we are requesting that we don't deal with the overview, if it's allowed. If we go straight to the presentation in terms of performance, which will be from slide number 4. And then, but the explanation in each presentation will be given of what is reflected under the overview, in terms of what has been achieved, what has not been achieved, and the reason for non-achievement and the measures that are being put in place. We have achieved in this first quarter 41 out of 50 of targets, which represent 48%, 82%. And then we, in terms of financial expenditure, we were sitting at 31%, which was a little bit above the norms in terms of 25%. The reason is beyond that is because of the amount of transfers that were done in the first quarter, hence the high expenditure as a result of that. So Gerald, that's the general comment, and then if you allow me, then I will hand over to DG, who's acting on behalf of the DG, Chetia, to take us through the presentation from slide number 4. But we'll start in terms of slide number 2, in terms of the content and all of that.
Good morning, Honourable Chairman. Thank you very much. I will go through these first two slides. DM has already covered the summary achievement at 82%, 41 of 50 targets. In the administration program, 8 of the 12 targets were achieved, giving it 66% achievement. For both tourism research policy and international relations and destination development, 100% of the targets were achieved in both programs. And for tourism sector support, there were 14 of the 19 targets that were achieved. As DM has outlined, each of the DDGs will speak to the specific targets and the reasons for non-achievement, but also they will cover what has been done subsequently to catch up where there might have been lags. Next slide, please. I think the next slide then is just a graphic presentation of the information presented on the first slide. If I can now hand over to DDG Ngwenya, who will take us through the administration presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, good morning, DM. For Program 1, we had 12 indicators, 8 of which were fully achieved, with 4 which were partially achieved. The first indicator related to the audit outcome. And in the first quarter, we were expected to then submit both the financial and non-financial performance information to AGSA, which was done. The second indicator relates to our contribution to government's economic transformation. This is the percentage of procurement of goods and services generated from SMME. The annual target is 40%. Quarter one target was also 40%. The target was achieved. We closed the quarter at 50.8% expenditure. The third indicator related to the payment of invoices within the 30-day period. The target was 100% payment of all compliant invoices. The target was partially achieved. We closed the financial year at 98%. And the reason we have that 2% shortfall, almost 2% shortfall, is that there were invoices which were submitted late to finance and were therefore paid outside the 30%. There are processes in place to then review the standard operating procedure and the systems that we are using, systems of internal control, to see how we then enable the system to assist us to achieve that target. But also corrective action was implemented against all employees who contributed towards the non-achievement of the target. Indicator number 4 is on the percentage of procurement spent from women-owned businesses. The quarterly target is 40%. That was partially achieved. We closed the financial year at 31.9%. And the shortfall was as a result of the slow implementation of projects in the first quarter. And in the second quarter, we've committed that we are then going to fast track. I think the first quarter is generally very difficult because that's the quarter of the audit period. That's the quarter where some employees are writing exams. And it is also the same quarter where the annual leave cycle comes to an end. The next indicator relates to the oversight over South African tourism. In terms of quarter one, we were to provide the quarterly oversight report on SAT. We were also meant to draft the public entity oversight framework we currently have and we are just reviewing, and those were achieved. Indicator number 6 is on the percentage of vacancy. The annual target is a 6% vacancy, but for quarter one, we were to maintain a vacancy rate below 9%. That was achieved. We closed the financial year at 8.3% vacancy. Next slide, Petra. Indicator number 7, as part of our transformation in terms of employment equity. The first target relates to 50% representation of women at SMS level. The quarterly target was 50%. We closed the financial year at 47.7, so the target was partially achieved. What we have done is, at the end of the first quarter, we've done an analysis of the number of vacancies we have in the department. And out of the 9 vacancies that we have basically reinforced 7 of those as equity positions, and during the filling, we are confident that if we were to fill those with women, we will then be able to cross the 50% mark. The next indicator relates to the percentage implementation. The second target under employment equity is the representation by people with disability. The quarterly target is 3%. We closed the the quarter at 4.4%. So that was achieved. The next indicator relates to the percentage of workplace skills plan implemented. The target was 100% implementation of quarter one. This target was partially achieved. We were only able to achieve 70% implementation, and the other two programs which could not be implemented, one was on the mentorship program. And the delay was that we source our training programs from the central supplier database. So we've had a number of times where we had poor response from our suppliers, which delayed the implementation of the target. The second one is on the training on supply chain, both bid specification and bid evaluation. Although the procurement was concluded, this is a training that is organized through the National School of Governance, and therefore the dates that we were given were outside the first quarter, and therefore implementation is only going to happen in the second quarter. We have since closed in the second quarter that gap, and we have achieved that target, but we were not able to achieve that in the first quarter. The next indicator relates to the implementation of the annual audit plan. the target was 20% implementation. That 20% implementation was achieved. And the last indicator relates to the percentage implementation of the communication plan. The target was 100% of quarter one targets, and we were then able to implement all targets related to that. Thank you. Over to you, Deputy Jamala.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Good morning. I am presenting Program 2, Tourism Research Policy and International Relations. As highlighted by Dr. Chetia, we had 11 targets in the program for quarter one, and we are grateful that we were able to achieve all the targets. On slide 12, the indicator there refers to our number of monitoring and evaluation reports. That is one of our key focus areas, and we targeted five projects. We are targeted five for the current financial year. The first one relates to the assessment of state of public owned tourist attractions, and our target for quarter one with regard to this annual target was achieved, and that was the proposal that we had to develop. Our second report or project is around our capacity building program that we monitor, and that was done. The third project, as approved by the committee for the current financial year, speaks to the evaluation of our departmental incubation approach, and we have commenced with the project and achieved the quarter one target. The fifth project speaks to the evaluation of the Grading Council's accommodation grading program, and that was also achieved. And the last one regarding the monitoring and evaluation is our biannual report on the performance of the tourism sector. The second target on or indicator on slide 13 speaks to the instruments that we are developing to improve our tourism statistics. And for this year, we are developing the National Tourism Statistics Plan as per the recommendation of the work that we did in the previous financial year, and the quarter one target in this regard was also achieved. Our third focus is around our knowledge systems, and for this current financial year, we are targeting two. One speaks to the implementation of our tourism and employment portal that we're doing in collaboration with Program 4. And the second one speaks to the implementation of our tourist guide information system, which is also a partnership with Program 4. And we managed to achieve the quarter one target in this regard as well. Then around our fourth output indicator is where we advance our tourism interest, our South African tourism interest in our participation in regional, continental and global level multilateral fora. And for the current or for quarter one, we prioritize the United Nations World Tourism Organization in terms of the implementation of their program of work, and that target was also achieved. Then on slide 14, honourable members, I recall that as part of our dissemination tool for an implementation tool of our signed agreements, bilateral agreements, we host the annual sharing of best practices workshop, usually in the fourth quarter, but work has commenced in the planning of that workshop, and quarter one target was achieved. And then in the planning of our outreach program to diplomatic community, we are targeting two programs this year, one to China and one to Kenya, and our quarterly target in this regard was also achieved. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm handing over to Dr. Jekyll.
The destination development targets, there were eight for this financial year, and all eight were achieved. On the first slide, we start with the work that we are doing in various districts, and in the target for this quarter was to actually finalize the Etekwini and Ntambalala resort concepts, and that was duly completed. The next one is the work on the budget resort, and we were finalizing the modalities for the budget resort implementation, which was also duly completed. In the investment work, there are two targets. One relates to the work that we do on our pipeline of nationally prioritized projects, and the second target deals with the platforms that we facilitate, and similarly, both targets were achieved. If we go to the next slide, it speaks to the infrastructure maintenance program. I think in the APP, we're currently implementing 25 projects in 5 provinces. And in the period under review, all of those maintenance projects were underway in each of those 5 provinces. The next one then is the 29 community projects. I think we've provided a detailed annexure which speaks to implementation progress. In the quarter under review, 22 of the 29 projects were in construction, 5 were at the procurement stage, and 2 projects required specialist studies. So there were 22 in construction and then 7 that were at either procurement or in specialist studies. The next target is about the work that we're piloting on events, and I think in this process we were looking at what project management or implementation plans we could compile and cost, and these have been duly put together. The last target then is the work opportunities target. The total annual target is 4,133. For the quarter, 642 work opportunities were were targeted, but the actual achievement exceeded that, so we achieved 1,676 work opportunities. That concludes destination development. I'll hand over to DDG Sitwaba.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm presenting the branch Tourism Sector Support Service. The branch had 19 targets, and of the 19 targets, 14 were achieved. Sorry, 1 we were found to have done significant work, and only 4 were not achieved, 4 of the 19 targets. The first indicates being the implementation of the Green Tourism Incentive Program. We had achieved that one in that. And the normal meetings in terms of adjudications were held and a report was subsequently developed. The indicator that concerns the domestic tourism awareness program, for quarter one, we did not plan to host or to implement the awareness and a program. We used that period for us to be able to plan for the World Tourism Day, which was held in quarter two. I'm not seeing my slide. Okay, I'll work from there. In terms of the initiatives that we were to implement in terms of supporting SMMEs, we had planned 2 initiatives. The first one was to continue with the implementation of the business support and development incubation program, and we continued with the implementation of the tourism technology innovation incubator, the food service incubator, and community-based tourism incubator. We had also planned to introduce 2 more new business incubation programs, and we were able to successfully introduce the business advisory services that is focusing on women in tourism for businesses that are in Limpopo. We were also able to introduce the business advice services that is focusing on the homestay type of program. Another new target that we had in terms of performing an audit of tourism incubators across the country, this target was not achieved. We initially identified, in our processes of identifying, we were writing to provinces, writing to associations, writing to other stakeholders that government departments that we know have got incubators, but we at the end of the quarter we started then opening it up for everybody who can be able to share information on the incubators that they are running. The cost of that publication in the media was very high, so when we entered into negotiations with the print media, we did not succeed, and that was right at the end of the quarter. So we invested in terms of writing to individuals and individual associations, especially the academia, because one of the targets was to go to universities and find out if they are running incubators, so that you can share with us that information. It has since that information. It has since been achieved. We are currently analyzing the information that we have received from those who have responded. In terms of the implementation of the resource efficiency cleaner production, where we are training the youth to be experts in finding solutions and to respond to efficiencies, promoting efficiencies in water and energy within the tourism sector. We were to start by appointing a service provider to train the youth. We were late in terms of implementing our target. We had concluded the process, but at the end we were not successful in terms of the actual appointment of the service provider. The next slide. The implementation of the service excellence standard went on as planned. The focus being in a small town called Dennisville, we were able to achieve the implementation. The milestones that we have set for ourselves in terms of the concept have been achieved. The implementation of the tourism monitor program in all provinces, including Sangli and Simangaliso, was not achieved. The target is to present the report, but at the time when the quarter came to a close, the implementation had not started. There was a directive that we consulted with stakeholders and role players, especially in terms of a holistic implementation of the strategy, the safety strategy. So there were quite a number of consultations that we had with the private sector, we had with other role players like the South African Police Service. There was also a conference that was held to promote safety and to plan around implementation of the action plans concerning the safety. So our processes in terms of appointing a service provider to be able to train the youth and also for the placement were delayed. Next one. Our five capacity building programs, annual target being to place and to train 2,500 unemployed youth on the norms and standards. This was achieved. We were able to train 1,361 as against the target, quarterly target of 625. In terms of the SMMEs, we were to develop a concept plan by which we will be guided in terms of the training of 250 SMMEs on the Thompson standards that was achieved, but the procurement was partially achieved in that after we had done the RFQ, the appointed service provider at the inception meeting with the appointed service provider, we then discovered that they didn't have one of the core modules, which is the occupational health and safety. So we had to cancel the offer that we had made to them and went to other alternative means in terms of the procurement of a service provider who has the core module that delayed the procurement and the finalization of the procurement process. The NCCE was successfully hosted. The project plan was developed under quarter one as planned, and it was hosted in the second quarter. The 50 chefs that are to undergo the recognition of prior learning process was achieved. The project plan was developed. In terms of the identification of the training of youth on the various skills development program that has been identified, we were able to achieve that target in that recruitment and onboarding of participants was undertaken. A training also started. We had targeted to train and place 375 youth with a host employers. The achievement that is the number of youth that have been trained and placed is 1,600. Next slide. Oh, that's all. Thank you, Honorable Chair Members.
Thank you, Deputy Sadova. The next slide provides workforce representation. 87.7% of the departmental workforce represent Africans, with colors taking the second spot at 5.1%, white that position at 4.2%. The next slide provides an indication of employment equity profile in terms of occupational bands. While the department overall has achieved 50% women representation, we still have a challenge within senior management, and to be specific, amongst directors, where we have a shortfall of 4 between men and women, which is why the target on female representation is therefore affected. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I'm going to present the financial information of the department. For the current financial year, the allocated budget for the department is 2.5 billion. At the end of the first quarter, we have spent 770 million of that budget, representing 31% overall for the first quarter. In terms of the linear target, we are supposed to be at 25%. However, in terms of our projections, we were supposed to be at 49%, but we have moved in terms of expenditure per program. And we have achieved a 23% with a variance of 1% under administration program 1, and there are no explanation for variances because we actually achieved in terms of the projected cash flow. For program number 2, tourism research policy and international relations, we achieved 32%. That was the actual expenditure at the end of the first quarter. Under this program, that's where we have a SAT transfers, and we were able to transfer in the first quarter. That was before the moratorium came in. So on program three, destination development, we achieved 13%, and the variance in terms of what was expected is 23%. And the reason for that is EPWP projects that are still being implemented, and the branches has provided more detailed information in terms of the variance. The last program is program number four, tourism sector support services. The actual expenditure at the end of the first quarter was 10%, and the variance is 6%. The DDG TSSS has provided detailed information with regard to the variances. Overall, as I said, we were at 31% in terms of the actual expenditure at the end of the first quarter, with a variance of 19%, given those variances. In terms of the economy classification under current payments, we have two, which is compensation of employees and goods and services. The actual expenditure is 25% and 13% respectively. In terms of the variances under COE, we had an over expenditure of minus 2%, which is not incurred and is dependent on various factors, such as terminations on the system. And goods and services is also projects, EPWP, and the branches have already provided reasons for that. And under transfers and subsidies, we have four departmental agencies. We spent 43%, it's also a part transfer, and we have also provided reasons why we could not meet the 70% because of transfers that were to be stopped. Oh, I'm sorry, on the first quarter we did achieve that transfer that was supposed to be made to the under foreign governments, we achieved 106%. The reason for that is due to price fluctuations because exchange rates are involved. Public corporations and private enterprises, we achieved 4%. This is a TIP project, and the branch head has already provided reasons for that expenditure. Non-profit institutions, there was 0% achieved because it was not planned for that quarter, and the household, we have spent 39%. Under capital assets, we have machinery and equipment, where we spent 89% of the allocated budget. This is mainly for administrative purposes, like furniture and the laptops procurement for the officials. And overall, the 2.5 billion that was allocated for the Department of Tourism, we have managed to get 770 million. And on average, in terms of the percentage, it's 31%. And that is the end of the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Chair, honorable members, that concludes the presentation from the Department of Tourism. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Chetty. I'm going to allow hands and the honorable members to interact with the presentation. Can I note hands? Honorable Ismail, followed by Honorable Makubela, Honorable Maneli, Honorable Goma.
Good morning to everybody. I just have a few questions. And my first question, the 18% underperformance, what plan of action is the department going to take or implement to ensure that this 18% is actually achieved, and what type of time frames are you looking at? My second question, you've highlighted vacancies. When will the vacant posts be actually filled? My third question, you know, one would expect that the department will budget for compensation of employees. So how come you come to a 6.4 million rand budget that was overspent? Now, looking at DBSA projects, most projects are not completed on time. How does this actually negatively impact the department? How much more, you know, are these projects actually costing the department going forward? And please advise, you know, how many of these projects were not fully completed on time, and what were the reasons for non-completion, and how is the department ensuring that this non-completion of project on time is going to be handled going forward? Because it seems to be an ongoing, you know, issue with each and every project, or 99% of projects. So what I'm actually asking is, what strategic actions is the department going to take to ensure this is addressed? Now, you know, the AG highlighted negative findings with regard to procurement and contract management by DBSA. What is going to be done to prevent repeat findings as this affected, you know, obviously negative findings in the AG report? Thank you.
In that order. Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to fellow colleagues, honorable members, myself, and the DM, and the members of the department, NDT. Chair, first, I would like to welcome the presentation, the report, as detailed as it is. It is a positive report. The only question or comment that I have is around the projects that are being implemented by DBSA. Now, good as they are, and DBSA has having been done great work for the department in ensuring that most of the backlogs in terms of the projects that were difficult to conclude, DBSA has come in and has done tremendous work. But you heard a AGSA saying that DBSA in identifying service providers or contractors, they were not following through on the prescripts of the PFMA. And that in itself was as a result of you as the I would say the owner of the product that they are implementing, not following through and ensuring that if they hire a contractor, they need to follow through on what PFMA says this should be followed. And that in itself was, according to AGSA, repeated findings in terms of the entity DBSA. Now, I want to find out from yourself, because we've also seen this and also in our entity, where an implementing a person, when they conduct their business, forget that these monies that they are using belong to the state and they need to follow through on certain prescripts of the law. So this is directed to you, Dr. Chetia, as the program is in program 3. The system that you've put in place to ensure that on the side of DBSA they follow through and there are no repeat findings. And then secondly, these projects that DBSA is implementing will hand them over to yourself, and you will then hand over to the communities and at times the departments or entities within the provinces. Most of the time you find that there is no plan, proper plan of running these projects. A case in point, in Limpopo we had Ngobe Lodge. The people of Ngobe
whom you were implementing this project had no plan whatsoever. They indicated that they would actually even need training, but moreover, they believe that they should hire this product out to an existing company, for example, your groups which are in the hospitality industry, your Southern Sun, or the groups that are closer to the Kruger who have already have experience in running these facilities. Now that was them saying, we don't have the capacity. You've built this for us, but we don't have capacity to run this project. Now, rightfully so, according to some of our recommendations, we said put in place systems and processes on how you are going to upskill and ensure that the recipients of these projects are there to receive them. They are also there to look after them. There's also a maintenance plan, and there is also running capital for at least 12 months for these projects to be able to be up and running. Now, I don't see that, or it's not supposed to be, but I'm now thinking, put it to us so that we understand that we are not just building white elephants that will dilapidate, because if a building is not utilized, there will be all this cost factor to it, and at the end of the day, it will be wasted resources. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Manish.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good day to everybody in the meeting. Chairperson, I think in terms of the questions, some are covered. However, I would like to speak on two items only. The first one would be on slide 22 in relation to the withdrawal of the offer to service providers because of one module that they did not have. Therefore, Chair, my question would be, was it not a requirement, or were service providers not informed as to what are the requirements before submission? Then my last question, Chair, would be, in terms of program 4, in terms of the underspending in the tourism incentive program, I wanted to check as to when is the new MOU with SAT on tourism grading support going to be signed. Thank you, Chair.
In that order. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, my first question here is about the systems which are put in place in order to ensure that let me just rephrase my statement. I want to congratulate the department for achieving 1,676 work opportunities. And then also, my question towards this, the same matter is, the systems that you put in place to ensure that people who are employed there are South Africans, because this industry is mostly and known to employ people who are coming from foreign nationals, and it actually disadvantages South Africans who are citizens of the country. So what type of systems do you have in place to ensure that you monitor the employment patterns, especially those companies who are employing those people coming from the other countries? And the second question, Honorable Chair, I see on slide number 20, there is a non-achieved target here due to failed appointment of the service provider. And also on page 21, the same reflects. There's a program that also has failed here to be achieved due to the appointment of the service provider, you know.
And this is not the first time we hear such results of failing to appoint due to the appointment of service providers. What happened? Why do we always have such? Do we have any problems in the procurement department that fails to appoint the service provider? Maybe if we can have an explanation, if there is some answers for now. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I pause.
I will allow the department to respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. If I got all of the questions correct, there were a few for DDG Setswaba. And in responding to them, I think DDG Setswaba will also speak to the projects that weren't achieved in quarter one and plan for catching up with them. I think there was one for DDG Ngwenya, if I can recall, I think the rest were for me. So in that order, if we can take DDG Setswaba, DDG Ngwenya, and then I'll respond to the questions related to destination development.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members, for the questions. In terms of a catch-up plan of the four targets that have not been met, the incubators are starting the incubators where we were calling for, we were doing open call for information to come through in terms of the incubation programs for tourism businesses that we have in the country. That we have been able to catch up. We have received responses from different institutions. We are in the process of analyzing the information that is doing the audit, finding out how are the incubation programs impacting on the viability of the businesses, equipping them on how to be sustainable. That one we have been able to catch up. The 250 SMMEs that we are to train, we will appoint a service provider to conduct the training. We have been able to catch up. A service provider has been appointed. Implementation is ongoing. This is where the question that is related to the inability of, okay, one of the service providers who has been offered was not was found not to have the relevant core module, which is the occupational health and safety. The specs did mention the accreditation on the health and safety unit standard. There was a gap in terms of the specs and the evaluation. The specification committee did mention that there will be a need for the service provider to have that, but at evaluation, I suspect it could have been more diligent in terms of identifying. So evaluation recommended, but when it came back to the unit, we quickly realized that the critical one that we have, that was that the service provider was to have, didn't have that. So we had to raise the issue, and then it was dealt with. In terms of the tourism monitor, the delays in terms of the implementation, the tourism monitors for the first quarter was not so much about the procurement. At quarter one, we were doing mainly stakeholder engagements. We were talking to provinces. We were getting into readiness with the private sector to come on board and assist in terms of the placement of monitors, provinces were assisting in terms of identifying hotspots, we were coming up with plans together with the South African Police Service for them to be able to come up and train the monitors with some of the safety and training that they are giving to their members. So mainly it was just about beefing up in terms of the operations of the tourism monitors and getting provinces on board. And also the private sector identifying those hotspots, and also the need in terms of how many monitors will be required for a particular hotspot. We have in the past run into trouble with the monitors program in terms of recruitment, and we have reported to the committee the challenges in terms of irregularities when it came to procurement of a tourism monitors, where our systems were able to pick up those irregularities, and processes had to be restarted. But for quarter one, mainly the delays were not delays per se, but it was around reading ourselves in terms of galvanizing all the stakeholders to be able to participate meaningfully in the security and safety and security around tourism.
I think I have, if there are other questions perhaps that I could have missed,
I will come back. Thank you.
Thank you, Didi Sitova. On the matter related to vacancies, we have received the circular, or the directive rather, from the PSA on the 18th of October, outlining the process that we need to follow in the in receiving concurrence from the Minister of Public Service for the filling of positions. We have, as a department, as of the 20th of October, submitted our submission from our Minister to Minister of Public Service and Administration. We currently, as of the end of the second quarter, had 50 vacancies. Of the 50, only 17 are pending advertisement. The others have already been advertised and were at various stages of the selection process. We anticipate that we are going to receive feedback by at least the end of October, and we will therefore proceed with the filling. There are positions where the selection process was concluded, and we are going to proceed once we get concurrence and issue offers. Where the interviews were pending, we already have a schedule prepared. We are just waiting for the concurrence. So as and when we receive, we will then proceed and conclude the process. And those that are pending advertisement, we already have finalized. The advert is ready. On the day that we receive concurrence, we'll be able to place the advert and fast track the filling. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DDGs. There were a few questions. The first one was related to the EPWP program and how we, in fact, ensure that the people employed are South Africans. The EPWP program is, in fact, only open to South Africans. And every single month in the reporting system, part of what actually is provided as supporting evidence is the timesheets of each individual participant, accompanied by their ID documents, so that we can, in fact, verify that they are indeed South Africans. And we can cross-check that across all of our programs. So that relates to how the EPWP program itself is run. There were then three types of questions that were asked about the infrastructure projects. The first two relate to the systems with the DBSA and how we manage and monitor them. And the second one was related to the audit findings from the DBSA and what we have done in terms of that process.
Sorry,
Honorable Gomba, can you please step outside and finish that meeting there that you have been doing?
Let me
you can conclude it there so that you don't disturb the meeting. Continue.
Thank you. The DBSA process, let me first start with the system of monitoring. So as team, we have two sets of processes. We meet with the DBSA roughly every 2 weeks, but at least once a month as a project management team. And in those meetings, what we do is that we discuss in detail the various projects, where there are blockages, and we address them. There's then a second layer of managing the process, which is the DG and Chief Executive of the DBSA steering committees. Those usually happen on a quarterly basis, and where the two heads or executives actually get feedback on projects and unblock if there are things that need to be unblocked. In the quarter under review, I think what's important is that although many projects were in construction, there were 11 that were falling behind in terms of their individual project plans for various reasons. Some, for example, there was flooding in certain regions and materials couldn't actually be delivered on site. So there were setbacks in terms of the weather. There were other projects where there were challenges around community facilitation, which slowed down progress. So for each of those 11 projects which were behind schedule on their individual plans, we have looked at a catch-up plan that relates to those specific projects and the nature of their challenges, and we are very closely then monitoring those to make sure that we continue to make progress on them and try to move forward with them. I think the historical challenge, Honorable Ismail, around non-implementation of the infrastructure projects is a historical challenge. I think that we did learn a lot from the challenges we had in the past, and in the current process, we are doing much better. I always say, even if you're doing better, there's always room for improvement. So we are learning as we go along and trying to manage them. But each of those projects on the maintenance, the 25 maintenance projects, as well as the 29 community projects, has an individual project plan, and we monitor progress against that individual project plan. As I said, at two levels, the project level, which is myself and the project team working with the DBSA team, and then the DG and the chief executive looking at those individual projects. With regards to the audit findings, there were two sets of audit findings, Honourable Member, and those two sets were related to, in one instance, where the tax certificate was not compliant at the time during the process, but was compliant at the point of appointment. And the second one was then related to the scoring in the individual processes. We've had detailed discussion with the DBSA on both of those findings. We had agreed with the DBSA in the beginning that we were not going to be part of the procurement processes. But when the DBSA sends us a letter, it's called a concurrence letter, they certify in the letter that all of the SCM processes have in fact been followed and that the compliance matters have been addressed. So what we have subsequently done is met with them, discussed these findings with them. We have also then written to them, and we are now in our concurrence process, asking for a more detailed checklist to be completed so that we can assure ourselves that the processes then are followed. The last matter then relates to post-construction support, and I think that this is a very important matter which has been raised many times. I am pleased to say that we are in the process of finalizing the post-construction support. So what's happened on all of our projects is that there's been discussion with the owning entities of what kind of model they would prefer. Most owning entities would prefer to go with the model of an operator, but there are some owning entities that want to manage themselves. And so we have had individual discussions with owning entities on what their preference is, but our plan then is to provide a comprehensive package of post-construction support. That package would include looking at operations, would include skills training where that's required, would include looking at governance elements to support owning entities if they choose to run themselves, or even if they choose to have an operator, to be better able to manage and provide oversight in terms of that. And it's also looking at then the aspects of business development and also supporting the HR function. So we are putting in place for all of the projects that we're constructing a comprehensive post-construction support package to ensure that they don't become white elephants and that they in fact become productive assets. I believe, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, that we have responded to all of the questions. Are there any that we've missed, Ian?
Well, there is one about the 2% of expenditure and compensation. Well, the issue the CFO did explain, Honourable Ishmael, that there is no insufficient budget on compensation. We do have sufficient budget. What is reflected in quarter one is a projection. It's not the real expenditure. The projection that in quarter one we're supposed to spend this amount, but in terms of the expenditure, the projection were either higher or low. That's what it means. And in relation to the compensation of employees, as the CFO has indicated, it's as a result of many factors that when you plan to spend so much in the quarter, there are some people who then resigned and they must get a package which you never anticipated. So that will then increase your expenditure in that quarter. Does not therefore necessarily reflect that there is under budgeting on the compensation of employees. Then in relation to the issue of the DBSA project, as you are raising them, from where we're standing compared to where we come from, I'm sure we are much more better, far better than how we're spending now and how projects are being implemented compared to historically where we come from. DBSA has assisted a great deal to intervene and turn the situation around. But in the context of some of the projects, there are many factors. Some of the factors are the one that the DG has explained. Some of the factors, let me just give you two examples also. We've got a Shangoni project. That Shangoni project has been in the making since 2016. We're not breaking through because there's a fight in communities. And as a result, engaging them now and again, we agreed on this. After we've agreed, another group emerges. You go and engage that group, you reach consensus. Along the way, another group emerges. So you just find yourself in that trap, in that situation of community infighting, which then delayed the process. There's one at Nombi Gate in Gambeni. When we started the project, 2 months later, when the project was just started, then another community comes and stops that project. Then you go and negotiate with them, we reach consensus, fine, you deal with it, you start. When you're about to start, another one comes and says, no la, Kusindaleni Zagitila, we're not consulted. They stop the project. You go and meet with them, you discuss. So you've got those things that happen in communities from time to time, which then affect the completion a project in terms of the deadline that you have put yourself. Well, other factors depend, it's on the basis of the contractors that get appointed sometimes. They will display capacity and everything and will say, no, we are fine. They get appointed. In the process, then they are unable to pay workers. And then the projects get standstill. You pay them, but they can't pay the workers themselves. They can't pay SMEs that have subcontracted. The project stops. Go back, you negotiate, and then you do also. So those are some of the factors which are not necessarily an inability of the DBSA sometimes to carry on the work. So those are some of the factors that sometimes we experience as we implement the project. Well, in relation to, I'm sure we've learned about the manner in which the inability or the lack on the part of the department in the monitoring side, especially as it relates to procurement by DBSA, which is a matter that is represented when presenting the annual report that was put up the system in place to ensure that that element as well is given a priority in terms of monitoring. We are monitoring more on the project implementation and all of that. We're not necessarily up to standards in relation to monitoring the supply chain processes of the DBSA itself. We that's where we left behind, and we've learned from that. And we're hoping that that is not going to happen going forward. Well, as the DTG has indicated, in terms of our program of PEPWP, you know, there can't be anybody who's not a South African that gets employed in the EPWP. It's not possible to us. It's employed on the basis of producing South African documentations in the EPWP. But in relation to companies, how they employ it, that's a South African law, unfortunately, which is not under the jurisdiction of the department. It's under the Department of Labor. And they are currently, they've been putting a green paper and a white paper, and they are in the process of coming up with the legislation on determination in which sectors of the economy is able to employ migrant workers at what percentage and all of that. So the Department of Labor is in the process of doing that. It's not within our jurisdiction. It's known that the sector has got a high number of migrant workers. But the other problem that you have, I'm not sure if you have read one document, one article last week, it was just reflecting that you've got a huge problem of skills in the tourism sector, shortages. I once gave an example about a project in Kruger National Park that was the train project there. After they've completed it, they wanted to employ local. They could not find. They received 4,000 applications, but none of the 4,000 met the requirement that they needed. So they had to, but they took a conscious decision that no, we're not going to look outside. They decided to put a program of training to train these locals, and now they are one of the best in terms of the service that they are providing in the industry. So those are some of the challenges that we have in the sector in terms of the skills. Thanks.
Those were the questions. I think as a committee, we were requested previously that you do the summary of the report, something that you've been doing perfectly, and when I looked at the summary of your report, is more detailed than the presentation. But because the DM asked that I allow you to present, I had to allow that. Otherwise, the document that says summary of the first quarter, it is detailed. Everything that you are asking, I think, is explained better in that particular document. And also on the project has their own document, which is separate, so that we are able to understand as to what is happening and the progress thereof and where you are as a department. And you have done that perfectly, and these two documents, they helped me a great deal when I was writing your presentation, because it is always good to have a summary, and then your presentation becomes your supporting document where you would refer us to as and when we need more clarity. So that has been working since you have started to move in that way in terms of presenting to the portfolio committee. Mine, DM, is around the EPWP vis-a-vis the underspending, something which I do not understand as to how did you underspend on that program of the EPWP, because in my view that program is more needed by society. I remember when we were in Monyane there in Northwest, some of those applications of EPWP, they were lying on the floor, and there were many. It was more than 100 of such applications. So I really need to understand that underspending. And also, if you identify people through the IDs, there's a fine print that you need to look into there, because we all have green book IDs, but in those books, it will be written non-citizen and citizen. Do you have systems in place to spot that particular fine print? Because it is important that we spot that fine print and don't take a ID as it comes. Perhaps you will have these allegations that there's people who are non-South Africans in the program of the EPWP when it's not supposed to be the case. I hear Madam Chetty, you are saying that you are not involved in the procurement matters of DBSA. Now, what I want to bring to your attention is that at SATDM, we have a situation of a finding by the Auditor General on the procurement of the dome, which was done by a buyer or an implementing agent. And now the finding is not against the dome as an infrastructure, but the finding is around the fact that SAT or the agent did not follow the prescribed processes. These prescribed processes are processes of SAT. And in that, they also raised that the implementing agent was supposed to be confined within those prescribed processes. And seemingly, they did not do that. Now, the question is, over and above the fact that you don't want to be involved, do you have prescribed processes to be followed by DBSA, so that tomorrow you don't have a finding in all these projects that DBSA is doing very well in assisting the department? And my other question is that the department is doing perfectly well. from last year to now, been a year of improvement on the side of the department. But we can't say the same about the entity which the department is supposed to do financial oversight and accountability on. What is lacking? Why are you not strong in conducting oversight over your entities? So I think that also it should be explained as you are presenting here. And what are your plans? Do you have systems in place to achieve a clean audit? Because we would want to celebrate that clean audit with you. I did not see the report on the relief fund. I take it as if you still have to come to the portfolio committee, as it was requested that you would come and present on this particular issue of the relief, because it entails the issues of investigations and what have you. So you still to come, so we can, you know, waiver that a part, although it's not, I did not see on your report. So I think that's my two cents on the presentation, dear. Thank you very much.
No, thanks, I could have saw some hands.
follow-up questions, honorable members. Honorable Ismail.
Thank you, Chair. I only have one. Thank you for the, you know, detailed feedback or reply of questions. The follow-up question I have is, you know, you've highlighted that sometimes contractors are actually, they, when you're looking at the contractor and the documents, you feel they are capacitated, but when the time comes, they don't pay the subcontractors or the people on the ground. What does the department do in this case, or DVSA for that matter, whoever's supposed to be doing it? Do you red flag these contractors so that they don't, you know, apply everywhere else or across the provinces? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My follow-up question is on the response that you have given, Dr. Chetia, on the plans or the systems that you put in place individually, so for each and every project in terms of the aftercare and what happens to the project. Now, I feel your response was very general, since also the question perhaps maybe at this point in time, you say there are, for each and every individual project, there's a plan for it that is tailor-made for that specific project and that specific community. Now, that's fair enough. But over and above, I think you should be giving us details. You don't have to give them now, but you can furnish them to the portfolio committee. Because if we have 29 projects, give us each and every project to say, this project, this PPD, this is the aftercare program. This Ngobe, this is the aftercare, this is what is going to happen for the next 12 months in terms of ensuring that these projects are not just good enough that DBSA has delivered state-of-the-art projects. You give it to the community or the agents that requested, but after that it is as good as us having put money there and nothing gets done, simply because there is no enough capacity on the side of the recipient. Now, if you give us individually so, we'll hold you accountable not just on general terms, but on each specific project. Now, I think it's only fair for us if we get that, because we'll then make our own assessment and perhaps even guide further to say, here, perhaps you can be able to give this more in terms of the aftercare. Because you see, there's also a finding on the maintenance and also the security, that has been awarded to some company, and there's also over expenditure on maintenance of the, perhaps I would say on some of these projects that are still running, that you need to ensure that you continue the work while they have not been handed over. So perhaps maybe this will then give details so that there are no fruitless and wasteful expenditure in terms of the projects that you are doing for the communities, and they are also not going, you're not going to be burdened in such a way that you keep projects or communities keep projects that are not working for them based on the transfer of skills and also the plans that you have. We requested that at least you should also be budgeting for at least 12 months so that you walk the journey with the recipients of the project, especially in community projects, where an entity like maybe you say a department in the province requested the project. There you can not, we say don't put the 12 months working plan because the department has its own budget. But in the case of communities, give us something that would have meat to it so that we see that these projects are a project that will be beneficial even after you've handed over. Yeah. Thank you. DM and your team?
No, thanks. I'll ask to come in, then I'll come to the end.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable DM. Let me start with the last set of questions around sustainability. So I think what we can provide at this point is what we have done and where the discussions are at this point. So the detailed sustainability plans for each project have not yet been finalized because they will be finalized much closer to when projects are being completed. So we can provide to you what work we've done, what training, and what the current discussions are with various owning entities, and what the intention is for sustainable support. So, you know, for example, one of the projects we're working on, the preference of the particular owning entity is to have to run the facilities themselves. What they've done is, for example, done a costing around what that would mean to run it themselves. But they are also not close to the idea of an operator coming into a system. And what they're wanting to do now is a comparison between what an operator's cost would be and what the actual running the facilities themselves would mean. So it's not possible to provide yet which decision they go with, but we can provide for each of those projects what we've done, where the discussions are at this point, and what they're leaning towards. I think it is certainly part of our intention, Honorable Makubela, to actually make sure that we have these as operational facilities. I think in terms of the project implementation as it currently stands, all of the projects are running according to their budgets. There are, of course, variations that happen on site. Those are duly approved and managed. And in those instances, you know, they're authorized and signed off properly within the rules of Treasury. I think it's important, Honorable Ishmael, to say that the DBSA is an entity of government. They're an entity of National Treasury. So in all instances, when we contract with an entity or we contract with an implementing agent, we actually ask them for assurance. I can't remember the actual clause in the PFMA. But we ask them for assurance with regards to the procurement processes that they follow. We also ask them to provide documentary proof of that. We also then ask them to implement the projects in line with their supply chain policies. That's also then written into our contracts, and it's written into the way that we monitor. The DBSA actually has, having worked with the contractors for a long time, put in systems in place where they see that a contractor is struggling. Many small contractors struggle with cash flow facilities. So the DBSA actually does have a facility then that works with contractors to support them to manage their cash flows, but also they have a funding facility that assists so that we don't end up with challenges. We have also, in agreement with the DBSA, ensured that there was one project where workers were not paid. And for that particular project, we put in place a system to ensure that workers were paid and then dealt with the contractual matters related to the non-performance of the contractor separately. In terms of the contracting, the way that the DBSA works is that there are penalties within the system for late delivery, for non-performance, and they also only pay against work that is already done and that they have signed off and approved. I think that they work then to give the contractor every opportunity to remedy situations. But like all government departments, if it comes to a point where the contractor can't remedy the situation and where they do find that there is in fact some serious issues around ethics or around the way in which that contractor works, then that the system of reporting it to Treasury to blacklist then becomes the system that's followed. We haven't had any instances in our implementation of our projects, although as I said, there are those individual projects where you're either behind schedule for different reasons, and those then are dealt with in terms of the contract itself. Honourable Chair, I think that the question was related to our oversight of the DBSA. So when I say that we are not involved in their procurement process, what I mean is that we don't necessarily sit on their bid evaluation committees, but what we do from a procurement process is to make sure that we have had a look at the actual scope of work that's going out, to make sure that that actually matches the concept documents. And what we then do, what we did previously, was that when they send us a letter to appoint, we sign off on the appointment of all of the contractors. Now, previously in that letter, they did confirm to us in their letter that all of the supply chain processes were followed, that there was tax compliance, and that there were no challenges. We're now putting in a more detailed checklist following the audit findings to make sure that we are now doing a double check on the issues related to it. As it comes to the process of ensuring a clean audit, we do systematically, from the last audit, do an audit action plan. That audit action plan is monitored on a weekly basis. So every week there's an update that is provided on the various actions within the audit action plan. And that's a comprehensive document. I think we did it last year as well, and it certainly did improve our audit outcomes. We're following the same system. It's managed through the Office of the CEO to make sure that we are following up on the actions, but I think more importantly, that we're effecting systemic changes to prevent the recurrence of these various matters. With regards then to the IDs, Honourable Chair, to be honest, I hadn't considered the point that you raised. I will double check with my team. I don't have an immediate response to you. I will double check on the matter of permanent residents and South African citizens and come back to you on that specific matter. And then the underspending in EPWP, so it is a contradiction in some ways, but there were two things that led to the underspending. The one was related to the Tourism Monitors program, and I think in the detailed notes there's an explanation of the implementation plan being finalized, but implementation itself not having started. There's a large number of participants in that particular program, and that contributed in some ways to the underspending. The second is, as I mentioned, those 11 projects that we have that are behind schedule in the infrastructure space have also contributed a little bit to what we plan to spend in quarter one. I believe that I responded then to all of the follow-up questions. That's the one I just responded to, Liam, on EPWP underspending. It's the delayed implementation of the tourism monitors and some kind of behind schedule work on the infrastructure, 11 of those projects that we're implementing.
Are the tourism monitors program linked to the EPWP?
It's funded through the EPWP program. It's managed in TSSS, but EPWP funds the skills development work, which includes the Tourism Monitors program, which is contained in TSSS. So the underspending in those, if there's underspending in skills or even in the Tourism Monitors, it would reflect on the budget of destination development, because that's where the EPWP budget sits, Honourable Chair. Thanks.
No, no. Thanks. Just to indicate that there might be a need to come and make a presentation on the sustainability. As you recall, when we were dealing with the planning last week, I raised the matter, and the DG said, "No, there is a detailed plan on sustainability that you are going to take me through." It might be necessary that we also, after that, you know, we come and present to the portfolio committee on sustainability plan going forward, so that we are able to indicate what is it that we are planning to do on this sustainability element, because it is very critical. That after the project has been completed, it must be able to sustain itself. Well, the one option is the one that you of an operator, which is currently the one that is being used by most of the project communities. Most of them prefers that, but you'll have some individual that they prefer to run the project for themselves, and that's where we should then come in. And see how then do we assist and make sure that it becomes sustainable. We agree with you, Chair, that you do have an ID. Well, there's a difference between permanent citizens. Because permanent citizens have got the rights of everything. There's an ID that is written non-South African, but it's not naturalized. The person is not a permanent citizen. It happens in most of the countries. They've got South African IDs, which is non-South African, but they are not yet naturalized or permanent resident. So those are some of the things that the Chair was raising, because a naturalized or a permanent citizen have got the rights on everything, like any South African. On the issue that they've raised, Chair, on the oversight, I've not heard DDG where is the gap, or where is the problem on the oversight of SAT? I don't think that has been responded.
Thank you, DN. With your permission, may I kindly respond to it? As a department, we've always had an entity oversight framework and the governance protocol. However, developments at SAT in the financial year 2022-2023 have highlighted gaps, and we are currently reviewing the two documents. to then take into consideration the lessons we've learned in the past in terms of oversight over SAT. There are areas where we seek to strengthen. While it may appear that the focus has always been on non-financial performance, we want to strengthen oversight over financial performance at SAT, but also look at the reporting and the compliance metrics. We are currently now finalizing the two documents, and we are hoping once they are finalized, adopted and implemented, we will then begin to see improvement in how the department provide oversight over SAT. Thank you. Thank you, dear.
Yeah, that is the chair. Well, the matter should not have arisen because, but there's been a debate because the act provides that the department must second somebody in the board who must be part of the board as an accounting authority. But there's been always this notion, especially from the DG, that a person must not, when he's get deployed there, the department has got nothing to do with him or her. And the person doesn't account on the work of the board, which he or she has been seconded by the department. There's been always that issue. That the DG was arguing that no, it's a governance matter. My understanding was that the main reason why somebody gets seconded is to make sure that that person is able to, from time to time, revert back, get the mandate from the department, report back on what is happening in the ACT, in the board. But that has not been the understanding. And that's what created some of the weaknesses and the challenges. Thank you.
Thank you very much, GM, with the department. We welcome the improvement which is visible on almost all the programs that you have reported on, and also you are committing that you are going to prepare a comprehensive presentation on the plans of the department on how to sustain all these projects that you have achieved. On the employment equity, you are committing that you will fill in the vacancies, particularly because there are females which have resigned or promoted or joined other entities. So you will be filling those vacancies, hoping that when you come back, we will have that deficit attended to. And the department has the entity oversight framework that is busy reviewing, and I'm hoping that when you are done with the review of that entity oversight framework, you will be able to share it with the portfolio committee. And I think, DM, it will be imperative that you help the DG to dispel this notion of people that are seconded to SAT and they are not reporting, because I think that's the main reason why the oversight over the entities is weakened. So we need to ensure that we assist the DG and dispel that notion, because it's not a right one. And also on the monitoring over the DBSA processes, I think you also need to improve there, because if your monitoring is not up to standard on the procurement systems of the DBSA, that might lend you
to a situation where the SAT find itself in. So there's a need that you ensure that you really improve and put systems in place. The concept document, concurrence and checklist, which you doubles, we acknowledge that. And also the action plan, the audit action plan, which you monitor every week, that has led you to the improvement that we see today. It is a system which I think and I believe considerably so, that will lead you to the clean audit which you want to see, if that's the pace you are moving in terms of achieving this. Your pace is that of a bullet train. Perhaps when you come back, we will see more improvements. And thank you very much for a precise summary of presentation, and also a precise summary of all the projects which we have implemented, and also the status of those projects. I think it's very clear now. We'll be able to engage better perhaps when you come back, because time frames are explicitly stipulated in that report which is summarized. Thank you very much, DJ, with your team. So you can be released so that we continue with the business of the portfolio committee as honorable members, because we've got two items on the agenda of today. So you are released. and the chair of the portfolio committee. Is there anyone who's available? Because the chair won't be able to make it. I have responded already. So no one wants to go. There's no arrangement. We don't know. I suspect that only at the end. And we are back.